Hello, everyone. Welcome to Loitering, the occasional but lovable traveling mini pod. I'm your host, Sonia Paul, and today we are loitering in Joshua Tree, the national park in the Southern California desert. And specifically, we're loitering at the top of Ryan Mountain. And you hear people cheering and saying congratulations a little bit. Some guy just proposed to his girlfriend right here at the top of the mountain. But now, back to the episode. I'm here with my friend, someone I've known for a very long time. Can you please introduce yourself?
My name is Jaimini Parekh.
Okay, Jaimini. For our topic for today, people and the relationship with the environment, let's go back to your history. You're an environmental lawyer. On a typical day, what do you do?
I look at documents and then write about them.
So what are in these documents?
It varies. Some of it is testing data. So there was one analysis that I wrote about an abandoned oil and gas well that was located in the middle of Echo Park. And it was leaking methane, explosive levels of methane and hydrogen sulfide gas within 10 feet away from a home. That's part of what I do, is like looking at like these dry documents and putting together a story based on them about how it affects people's lives.
Like, how did you become interested in this? What made you want to go into environmental law specifically?
I've always loved nature, and I've always felt a real drive to protect nature and to protect the right of people to a healthy environment. I think every person should have the right to breathe clean air and drink clean water and not feel like they are being poisoned just by doing the basic functions of life.
Do you think most people realize that people and their relationship with the environment tends to be much more fraught than we realize because of, you know, these toxins in the air or poisons that may be very well near communities, especially vulnerable communities, and we're not paying attention?
Well, I think, unfortunately, how our society has developed is that it exports toxins and toxics to the poor and the marginalized. And so a lot of the health impacts from air toxins happens in low-income communities or communities of color where they are the sacrifice zones. That's actually what the oil industry, the oil refineries have called these communities that live next to their facilities, is that these are sacrifice zones where, you know, basically society says, well, this has to go somewhere. Let's poison these people because they are poor.
Wait, they're really called sacrifice zones?
Sorry, let me clarify. I'm not sure if the oil industry has said that. It's called sacrifice zones, but they are called sacrifice zones.
You call them sacrifice zones.
Well, I've heard them referred to as sacrifice zones.
So for the sake of our mini pod right now, let's refer to this as sacrifice zones. So some people, their relationship with the environment is that they live in these sacrifice zones. Other people maybe like take selfies on summits. You know, so how do you reconcile with this? I mean, for example, right now, the two of us are on a summit. We may take a selfie, probably. Who knows? Yeah, how do we make sense of this if it seems like, you know, people and the relationship with the environment is becoming more stratified as inequality becomes more pervasive?
It's a deep question to evolve.
I know. Sorry.
Well, I mean, I think people come to a place like Joshua Tree and they climb Ryan Mountain because it's beautiful. Because inherently nature brings us peace. Because seeing nature's beauty calms our mind and gives us a feeling of awe. In a lot of native religions, nature is revered as being a god. But we've, in a sense, divorced ourselves from nature as well, because I think why nature has this divine aspect in our society is because our lives depend on it. But if you get water every day out of your tap and it's immediately hot and you can get as much of it as you want, you don't appreciate it in the same sort of way.
You know, all this being said, and given a conversation we had last night where you asked me, what do you think the future holds for the human race? Now, that was a very deep question. So what do you think the future holds for the human race, given the way nature is changing around us and how we're influencing nature?
I think human beings are inherently adaptable. I think we're very good at developing mechanisms to create life and to resolve challenges. The problem is we're also short-sighted.
This is true.
So if water is available, we're going to use it. If something, you know, and so that's why you see this proliferation of, like, excess consumption that exceeds what is available. So, to be honest, I don't know. I think our society is growing at a rate that is unsustainable. And I hope it doesn't end up like the Gardens of Babylon, which is now, I think, Iran.
And so, when you say Gardens of Babylon, what precisely do you mean?
The Gardens of Babylon were historically known as this lush, like, gorgeous, bountiful place filled with, like, trees, gardens, and greenery. And people just kind of consumed and consumed and consumed. Cut the trees, cut the forest, and it became a desert. And that's what it is today.
Right. So that's all we have.
And on a bright note.
Sorry, everyone. But think about it. Anyway, that's all we have for today. Hopefully, we hope that you will also one day visit Joshua Tree. Thank you for listening and have a nice day. Goodbye.